I don't trust electronics. So I got it. I have it all up here. I have my Bible and my notes, and I have my iPad, and I have my phone in my back pocket. Even this morning when I tried to send my sermon to my iPad and my phone, I had trouble with it. Just annoys me. But so I always have backups just in case something fails. And I know print can't fail unless you forget your notes, which I did that one time. I was going to ask to preach and I left my notes at home. And so I made it through, but I got reprimanded by my spirit for not remembering to bring my notes. And Pastor Mike and I talked about, well, it's been 5 or 6 weeks ago. I asked him to meet me at a location in Lewiston, and we got to talking, and I was beginning to share with him some things that were going on in Mylene and my's life. And I walked through with him what I'm going to talk to you about today. And one of the things that I've learned in my life as a person of faith is that God wants to really speak to us. And we can get accustomed to how he speaks to us. We can get used to that. In fact, we can get so used to it that we stop listening. And so I'm asking God, and I've been asking him for this, as I prepared for this message, that God would give us new ways to speak to us. I'm going to go back to my childhood days when I, as a child growing up in church, learned the Bible through flannel graph. And how many of you remember that? You remember flannel graph stories? You know, the teacher would put that story up there, and they would, and then she would tell it part of the story, and then she'd add another thing to that. I meant to bring one as a prop, but it just didn't work out. But I just remember. So God began to speak to me visually. So my whole life, I'm a very visual person. You can explain something to me, but you would do well with a chart, or you would do well with me with a, like in my business, a planogram, you know, like tells me what the layout is, what I'm supposed to be doing. But the Bible speaks to us in ways. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through prayer. He speaks to us through the prophetic word. He speaks to us through advertisements. He speaks to us through music. He speaks to us through friends. We're talking back and forth. He speaks to us through, there's this place in the Bible where he spoke to Balaam through a donkey. He uses circumstances, he uses environments, and he uses different ways for us to speak to us. And he speaks to us with objects. And I'm going to share a story with you today that how God has spoken to me on a few times on ways that he went literally, he knew in order for him to talk to me, he took me back to my days as a kid and gave me an object lesson on it. If you turn with me in your Bible to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, we're going to talk first about Moses in the burning bush. Now when Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, he led the flock to the other side, to the far side of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames and fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here am I. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. In verse 7, it says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel lights have reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God in verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Let's pray. Dear God, we come to you today. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your hand being upon our lives. And we just pray right now, God, that you would speak to us. If it takes a burning bush to speak to us, so be it. If it takes an animal to speak to us, so be it. But we ask you today to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At the end of the service today, when I conclude this, I'm going to be asking the prayer team to come up and be a part of it. And I'm going to ask them to give you the opportunity to come if you have any kind of need to pray with them. And well, I want to give you that incredible opportunity because I've learned, as my wife and I have learned this year, that praying for one another, praying with other people helps. And we've had the opportunity on January 2nd, my wife got a knock on the door in our neighbor who lives literally across our alleyway, knocked on the door and came up to her and said, Mylene, I just wanted to let you know that I've been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And she's a breast cancer survivor, and it's been like 5 or 6, maybe even 10 years, I can't remember, that she had survived breast cancer, and now she had pancreatic, and she's a Mormon lady, and my wife was able to pray with her. The title of my message is this. If you've ever heard ESPN radio or on their... they do a 30 for 30, and they always start with, what if I told you? You've ever heard that? What if I told you? So this is Pastor Mike's been talking about making space for God. And Mylene and I, God got us ahead of the game. And I'm going to take you back to August 22nd, where we started making space for God. And so what if I told you that making space for God opens the door for us to speak to others, to speak into their lives? In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, we read, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Personally, I dream all the time. So therefore, I fall in the category that I'm an old person. Scripture says that. I don't feel old and I may look old, but the Bible says, I used to get it flipped around. I thought it was the young men that dreamed dreams and the old men had visions. But now God has moved me into helped me to stay young, but he's given me visions, of things that are happening. And on August 22nd, I was working in Pullman, and I was somewhere between working in Pullman and driving home. I felt compelled to tell my wife that I think we should pray at Lewiston High School. And we should, we already been walking through the neighborhood, so let's just add Lewiston High School to it. August 22nd was the day before school started. I go, let's go there when school starts. But the more we talked about it, the more, let's go today. And so that evening, before it got dark, because the time change hadn't happened and it was still longer evenings, we walked to the neighborhood and we made our way over to Lewiston High School and we began walking around there. And when we got there, we started to pray. We didn't really know what to pray for. We didn't know what are we to pray for? It's easy to pray, like light a fire on the campus or help the kids to be safe and, not like a burning bush fire necessarily where it does get consumed or the building catches on fire, but fire, like they light a fire, the kids would make wise choices, things like that. But so we asked God, what is it that we would pray? And one of the things that kept coming to our mind, that his presence would be felt on the campus of Lewiston High School. And we started asking God, however you work, because he works in us differently, we'll just pray and believe that. And so that was a Wednesday, and school started early for the Lewiston School District this year. I'm not sure why, but they started early. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we would go and pray, and we thought, well, maybe we'll take the weekends off, but we still found ourselves going back to the high school to pray. Somewhere between Sunday night and Monday morning, Annika had gone to her mom and said, hey, mom, can you make lunch for my, some of my classmates? We have first lunch, and when we come home, I'd like to just come home for lunch. And so Mylene goes, sure, I can do it. And 3 or 4 kids showed up. Well, word got out that Annika's mom was cooking lunch. And so the people at second lunch who aren't in any of my daughter's class time, can we come over for lunch? So Mylene goes, sure. Told Annika, you can text in school now. And so this went back and forth. And so, we had a few more kids show up on the second lunch. That was on a Monday. On Tuesday, it started to happen. The kids started coming to our house. We were continuing to pray all the time at the high school, and lo and behold, you know, Wednesday comes, more kids coming. At some one time, we had between the two lunches, we had 17 kids in our house between the two lunches, and we found ourselves going shopping on Sunday night, and sometimes we would get behind or something, so we'd order pizza, and I would go to Costco, or we would order pizza. And I'll be honest with you, cost never occurred to us in our mind that we were paying out this money. And it did occur to us that no kid was offering their lunch money to us to pay for it. But we're like, as long as we feel like we can do this, we're going to do it. Well, to continue the story, as we were continuing to pray, these lunches were continuing to go on and kids were coming, and my son would show up. He had second lunch. He'd show up occasionally, but a lot of times second lunch, we'd have like 14 kids in. They didn't have classes with my kids. They didn't have lunches, and they would just come to our house and show up and knock on the door. And we were continuing to pray and ask God to supply food and meet the kids' needs at the campus. And we just called the program, our own program, Feeding the Hungry. And in fact, word got out at the campus that a friend of ours, our relative, says, I heard you're feeding the kids at LHS. And yeah, just don't tell the cafeteria people, because, or maybe you should, and they could, you know, ante up a little bit and our kids will eat there instead. About 2 weeks into this, going to the high school and asking God for his presence on the campus, I had my own burning bush experience. And excuse me if I get emotional, because I battled with sharing this, because this is out of this world stuff. This is God saying, hey, I got something I want to show you. We're sitting on this, if you've ever been on the campus of LHS, they have benches made out of stone, and they've been donated by the different classes and stuff. And it says right on there which year that particular bench was sitting. And I'm sitting on the campus, and I'm looking to the east. And if you've ever been on the campus, there's a one-way street that goes all the way through, or you can take a left, and you can go by Booth Hall. And I'm looking to the, there's only one gate that closes on Lewiston High School, and it's hardly ever closed, only during the school day. And it's opened up so kids can leave that way, but it's literally to stop kids from coming in that way, because it's one way going east. I look to the east, and Mylene had started playing the song, The Victor's Crown. As she's playing the song, I look to the right, and I'm not kidding you, as I stand here, I saw three angels walk onto the campus of LHS. Like, wow, I look at it. They were like really tall. They were white, and I could see their feathers, and they were like, if I could ever imagine what an angel looked like, God gave me that angel. And those three, they started to walk into campus. You could see the wings were on top. They folded down. They were not in flight, and they were walking, and they were wearing white robes, and they were faceless. It only happened for just a short period of time, because I felt something brush me on the shoulder, and I turned this way. And I honestly think that my natural mind took over, but God only knows what he was showing to me there. I saw an army of angels coming from the south, an army of angels coming from the east, an army of angels coming from the north, and an army of angels marching into the campus and standing in front of us. I turned to Mylene. She didn't see any of this. I turned to Mylene. I said, I saw angels. And she goes, you did? And I said, yeah. In fact, in that song that you've been playing there, the second phrase of the song, it says there's angels. Let me see if I can find it here. It says, it's a Victor's Crown sung by Darlene Sheck. You are always fighting for us, heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. And so we continue to pray, and I'm thinking, wow, God, this is incredible. What's the chances? And God's thinking, great chance. You know, I just gave it to you. And honestly, that was in the first part of September. All this time I'm going, how do I tell the story? How do I tell you? You know, like, great, yeah, angels. When I was a little kid, I was at a healing crusade at the fairgrounds when I was a kid, many, many years ago. And a lot of people were getting healed by just incredible things that you could see their legs straightening out. You could just see them, people jumping up. They were being healed by a bunch of stuff. And the person that was speaking, he goes, I just want to know, are there any skeptics in the crowd? Like, anybody doesn't believe this? And this guy beside me stood up. I'm not, he's just going to be the lightweight. He goes, I am. And he goes, hey, can you stand up there? And he goes, what is it? You know, and I maybe even asked him to come forward. I don't remember, but they had a conversation with him. And he, what do you want to, you know, what it would take you to believe that, you know, God heals? And he's in a, I think it was like another miracle. And so I thought about it, like, okay, God, someday I'm going to tell this story about angels. And, you know, if there's skeptics in the crowd, you know, when we go to heaven, you ask God to say, ask him, did Charles Grogan actually see angels in the first part of September? That's all I can tell you that happened, and it made an incredible impact on Mylene and Maya's life going forward. But God wasn't done. We're continuing to feed these hungry kids. We're at 100 and some meals by this time. And we're starting to contemplate, can we afford this? Should we do it? I talked to Pastor Mike, and he was giving me some ideas of where we could get food from. It was beginning to happen more and more. And in fact, there was a Wednesday where Mylene had to she was supposed to be in a meeting, and she had to tell Annika, can you tell them there's not going to be any lunches today? And one, two or three kids didn't get the memo. And Mylene's like, sorry, I didn't make anything for lunch today. But then the next day, 17 more kids showed up on the next day, and we just continued it. It lasted for about 6 weeks, and we ended up, serving over 260 some meals in that period of time. And three kids did come forward, you know, and give us a little bit of cash here and there, but it didn't bother to us. But we were asking, we had already told God, we're going to do this until you tell us not to do it. But what we were finding out is as we were making space for God, we were making space for people. We're starting to see things happen in where we're coming in contact with people. And we're asking God to give us what to say, give us provision if we need to provide for somebody. There are three things that I want to share with you that help me put things in perspective. And I've actually, as I've studied this, it puts the whole Bible in perspective, and it puts almost our everyday life in perspective. There's the presence of God. First thing is the presence of God, and at the burning bush, God let Moses know his presence was there. He called him from the bush. There was the representation of the angel was being there. God spoke to Moses from an unexpected source, a burning bush. God can use unexpected sources that I've already said, like people, thoughts, or experiences to speak to us. The second thing is that there's the power of God. In Exodus 3 verse 5 says, do not come any closer. God says, take off your sandals, for the place that you're standing on is holy ground. And how many of you have ever known that when you're in the presence of God, you can feel the power of God? Or when you've prayed for somebody, you've seen the power of God where somebody's been healed. Or you've maybe not even been in the same room, but you've prayed for somebody across the land, like we just prayed for South Africa. And let's just wake up tomorrow morning in the news and say, heavy rains are now, torrential rains are now hitting the country of South Africa. Amen? We can pray and believe that. So there's the presence of God, and then there's the power of God. We're still feeding the hungry. We're still allowing the students to come to our house, and we're still being creative in what we should do. They ate a lot of lasagna, and they did eat a lot of pizza, but my wife likes to cook, and so she tried to blend in a bunch of things that we made sausage dogs and hot dogs and things like that, just to make it so it wasn't bland. And that's my wife. That's her thing. She doesn't want it to be ordinary. She doesn't want it to be plain. And so we got creative in feeding these kids. So about 2 or 3 weeks after my angel visitation, we were sitting back at the campus. It was a Sunday night. And I believe it was a Sunday night. And I looked to the east, and no kidding, I saw a lion running towards me. It was like something out of Jumanji or something like that. This lion is running through the campus, galloping in very slow motion, running slow motion. And I heard the word speak to me, bigger. And that lion just like blew up, got gigantic, like the big balloons in Macy's parade. And as when I watched it in Thanksgiving, I go, my lion was bigger than that. and it was still stayed. Then it got animated, like it was very cartoonish, and it was just galloping across the campus, going from the east to the west. And I remember thinking about it, like, what does that represent? What does that represent in the Bible? What does it represent in our lives? And it represents, the lion always represents the power. Right? The power of God. And God, again, was using an illustration supernaturally to show me that when we experience the presence of God, we can experience the power of God in our lives. And God wants us to be so close to him, as the song talked about. We can be so close to him, we can hear him whisper. We can hear him shout. We can hear that still small voice that cries out all the time to us, that he loves us very much, and that he wants to do something in our lives. And he wants us to make space for people as we make space for him. So there's the power of God. And then the last one is, well, before I go there, as we were praying, we began to ask God that, as we've been praying for the presence of God to be on the campus, we began to pray, God, we know that some people in our lives with these kids, that they need, it's probably going to need a Damascus Road experience. They're going to need something where they experience something supernatural. Maybe you could send angels in their life, you know, maybe you could, you know, give them a lion to scare them or something. I don't know. Well, but, you know, show them something. But we felt like a Damascus Road experience is what we began to pray for these students. And I've always been in intrigued by that experience. And if you turn with me to Acts chapter 9, I want to read to you how Saul became Paul and how he had this experience. And then I want to talk to you about how that could possibly be something that you and I could be involved with in people's lives. In verse 1, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters in the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He replied, now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So he led them, by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision and said, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias said, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And it goes on to say he spent several days in there with the disciples, even though I'm sure they were like standing off, like, dude, you're here to kill us. You're here to call us in so that we would lose our lives because we believe in Jesus. Bear with us as we really authenticate your relationship with Jesus now. Right? Wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you be in a situation where you, if you were, you know, you saw somebody that was, they were an evil person, maybe you find yourself hesitant to like even introduce them to Jesus? You'd like, wait, you know, what are you asking me in sincerity? Well, I've been thinking about this a lot, and where better place, what other person does God have to use to reach other people who need to know Jesus Christ? There was a friend of mine, we shared the ministry together with youth, and he gave me this quote, unknown, but it says, God has no other means of reaching the lost except to use people already saved. So what's the chances that somebody would knock on your door and say, hey, I heard this voice saying I'm supposed to come talk to you, Charlie Grogan or Charles Grogan or Mylene Grogan, and you're supposed to tell me something really important. I believe that it could happen. It may not be happening in that way, but we've been hearing stories about how Muslims are having dreams that they're supposed to, that the Jesus is coming, and they're supposed to come to, somebody's supposed to knock on their door, and the missionaries down in the same apartment, God's prompting them to go talk to them, and they've been hesitant, like, are you kidding me? They're Muslims. They're like, why would I want to do that? And sure enough, they go knock on the door, and the people say, "We've been waiting for you." And they come in, and they give them the experience of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. My wife and I, on her birthday on January 3rd, we were in Pullman again, and we went to eat at the Japanese, what's it called? Fujiyama restaurant, where they cook the food in front of you, and you eat communal style. And we're sitting there, her and I, it's her birthday, we're celebrating her birthday, and there was a Muslim couple with their little boy on the other side. And everything I've ever been told about Muslims was nothing was true in this situation. They were either just really hungry to talk to people. There were students at Washington State University, and the husband had just arrived. The wife had already been there the semester before. We had a wonderful conversation. We just talked, and I'm thinking, I've been told that Muslim women aren't even supposed to look at men in their eyes. And this woman, this young lady, was excited to talk to us, and we shared lunch. And the Japanese lady sang "Happy Birthday" to my wife, and I threatened my son that we would take him up there because he laughed so hard when I showed him the video on that. Like, okay, we won't have the Japanese lady singing to you. But they took pictures too of the videos, and it was amazing that how we had an opportunity to just break bread with these people that maybe someday we'll see them again, but we're praying for them. God says, the third point in my message is that the purpose of God. The Lord said in go back to my original text in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. The Lord says, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of the slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land of good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And I like Moses' response, because when God called me into full-time ministry, I did the same thing. You want me to go there? Surely there's somebody way more qualified than me to go do what you want me to do, to say what you want me to say, to go where you want me to go. Clearly, God, there has to be somebody more qualified. Moses says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring Israelites out of Egypt?" I'll just pause right here. Roy and Deb, you've probably talked to many people, maybe you can verify it later, who have talked themselves out of doing what God called them to do because of that. Who am I? I've been on the mission field. My wife and I met on the mission field. And she's from the Philippines. I'm from the United States. We met in Cambodia. We fell in love. We got married, and we just celebrated our 21st wedding anniversary on February 1st. That's why I like February, because February 14th is now I can give her chocolate, and then later this month I turn older. So it's February is like a really good month. I just wish it was like in February was in like where July is, like they could just switch. Except the chocolate would melt. But you probably have heard this, maybe you've heard it in your own life. It's experience that where who am I? Like, who am I to do anything for you, God? Who am I to say anything to anybody about anything that you would have me to do? And God is saying, I can call you. I can give you anything to say. I can give you words. I can make a bush burn and not be consumed. I can send locusts into the land. I can make the water turn to wine. I can do anything. I can call you and I can give you the words to say. Amen? So if you're ever with anybody that's hesitant about doing anything for God, whether it's just simply feeding the hungry, opening your house to high school kids, or doing something beyond that, or what you're already doing, and you need to be fired up to do it even some more, don't be afraid to share with them that God can use them. God can use them whatever way, and he will use you in ways, in places that you may not even think of, when you have a conversation with someone. I've made it a habit, and I shared briefly this yesterday at the luncheon, that I'm in a campaign for kindness. I just think we're so rude now, and my good friend John here, we meet on Mondays and Wednesdays at his job because my job interferes with his work. And we have opportunity to talk to people all the time. And when you're out there shopping, people are just just generally can be rude. And so I decided, you know what? I can't take this anymore. I'm just going to go acts of kindness. So when I'm walking to and from the store, if there's somebody who has a shopping cart, they're empty. I just take it back to the store. I put it in the parking place. I ask them, hey, can I help you here? You know, I just want people to understand that there really are nice people in the world, and good customer service goes a really long, long ways. And we should be the top of the line, top tier people of giving good customer service, because we have the love of Jesus in our life. And I'll just simplify it, just as simple as that we have the love of Jesus in our life. So we were praying one night, and it was not long after they had the lion visitation, and Mylene was talking. It was dark out at this time, and I remember looking up at the power pole at the east gate, and I was looking up at it, and I saw that there were three transformers at the top of this power pole. And just previous to that experience, I had seen, I remember hearing Pastor talking about that God is in the business of transformed lives. And I thought, wow, that's a great object lesson. I told Mylene, I go, look, there's three transformers. What's the chances of that? Three, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Like, oh, it's even biblical. Look at that. They're just, if you're an electrician or you're into that power, they were probably just beautiful creatures to us. They're just little gray things that are attached to a tree. And we need to warn squirrels that they should not be playing around those things, because in our neighborhood, it's been squirrels that knock out our power, because they'll be standing on top of it and their tail flips up and catches the top part of it and they die and the power goes out. It's really sad. I learned that from the guy on the power line. I go, he was out there working one day at Vista, wasn't I? What happened? He goes, squirrel. So I started one day. I was thinking about it. I like to retrack my life. I like to go back. You know, hey God, August 22nd, we were at the campus of LHS. We're praying for these students. We're feeding these kids, and we're seeing you do some incredible things. We even saw one night a girl come out of the shadows and was just twirling through the campus, just twirling like as happy as can be. And then she just disappeared. She was like, went behind a tree or something like that. And we went to actually, we wanted to find out what she was so happy for. Like, what do you, and we drove around the neighborhood. We never did find her, but we just thought, well, maybe it's just, God wants us to experience the joy of the Lord, because that's how happy she was, just twirling, and having a good time. So I was thinking about it. All these things. I had a visitation by angels, I had the lion, and then I had these transformers. And I go, they all have something in common. The East Gate. They all appeared at the East Gate. And so I remembered studying in the Bible, Jerusalem and the East Gate. And so I went home and I looked it up, and what I learned was that the East Gate is the closest gate to the temple of the Lord that they had built there. And if you've ever studied the temple, there's the outer court, and then the inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. And so that's the quickest way to get to the presence of God in that day. So there was, and really only the priests were allowed in the Holy of Holies. And so I thought, well, that's really unique, you know, because we have the transformers, you have the lions, and you have the angels. And I'll never forget this. It was November 16th. We had a board meeting that night. We'd changed it from a Thursday to a Wednesday. And I was in the shower and I was rethinking it again, going over it, there's something here that God, what is it you're trying to say? About 5 or 6 years ago, Pastor Mike had asked me to speak here at the church sometime. I don't remember exactly when the first time. Shortly after I had spoken, and I don't even really remember what I spoke on, I began to hear these phrases: the presence of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God. Anytime you get three and you're a preacher, you're like, oh, perfect sermon to me. But you know what? I got stuck on the purpose of God. I kept thinking there's like multiple purposes. And there actually really is. There's like, God has a lot of purposes for us to do, but he has one main one, and that's transform lives. So I started thinking, So I just never did anything with it. I could be sitting in here and I would see the presence of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God. And maybe you're already sitting there, how this got pieced together. But again, I go back to my childhood. God was speaking to me through object lessons. So in the shower, it hit me. The puzzle just came together. The angels represented the presence of God. The lion represented the power of God, and the transformers represented the transformed lives. And if you read in the Old Testament and you read some of the places in the Bible, you can read about those three things exist. If you go beyond the story of the burning bush, which at the burning bush, you had the presence of God, the burning bush, you had the power of God that it could be burning and not be consumed. And God's voice is coming out of a bush. And then you have the purpose of God. His purpose was to free the Egyptians from slavery. And then you fast forward to when they're actually leaving Egypt, and Moses finally, after trying to convince Pharaoh to let him go, they finally escape. You have the presence of God with the Israelites as they're leaving, and later on they have the fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. As they're crossing the Red Sea, the power of God separates it. And what was the purpose of it? That they could be free. Daniel in the lion's den. I can just go on and on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God was present in there. There was a fourth person in the fire. These are great stories. If you've never read them, they're just incredible stories about the presence of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God. And then you continue to go forward and forward and forward. And I'm excited to talk to you about this because I still go back to the Damascus Road experience and how people could probably come to Jesus. And prior to Saul's experiences, we have Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And in that story there, Philip, it says in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" And I like it when it says this, an angel of the Lord said to Philip. So God's speaking to Philip through an angel. So Philip started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and is on his way home, sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." How do you hear the Spirit of the Lord? You make room for God. You draw close to God, and God will start to begin speaking into your life. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip says. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage from Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." In verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. I preached on that whole thing about how easy it is to give our personal testimony, how it is easy to share, because I've spent a lot of time working with youth. And so God has always allowed me to give the simplicity of the gospel. So I just tell the kids, the first thing that you need is a mouth. It says, you know, Philip opened his mouth and God gave him the words to say. And you just need the authority, which comes from Jesus Christ, to go do that, because the Spirit says go. And then you have to be saying, okay, I will go. And so Philip goes and he meets this Ethiopian eunuch and he leads him to the. Did I just go off? Oh, for a second there, I was going to get shut down, but I still have time. So that was a preview that's in the chapter before Saul's conversion, that this eunuch had a Damascus Road experience. This would be called the Gaza Road experience or whatever, but do you understand what I'm saying here when I say that God wants to use us to help people? And don't be shocked or alarmed if people knock on your door or come meet you face to face and say, "Hey, I want to have coffee," and they want you to explain something that's going on in their life, that God is talking to them. And we're the conduit to get them to be in a place of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? I thank God for the opportunity every time I get an opportunity to preach. I have an opportunity to share my faith. I have an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus. Life is tough. It's hectic. We get things thrown at us. We get stuff that messes with us. I'm an ordinary guy that God gives avenues and adventures to go on. And I drag my kids with me sometimes. And other times it's just mono on mono. Me and whoever stand there. I'm sensitive to people. I told my wife, I shared this with the ladies yesterday, I have an incredible desire to write. And on New Year's Eve, we were praying at LHS campus. It's become our prayer mountain. That's where we go to pray. And I hadn't conferred this with my wife or discussed this with her. I said, Dear God, I want in 2018, I want to write. And I want to write for profit. I don't want to just write. You know, it'd be fun to just write, you know, and I do some writings, but you've never read them hardly any. And I have the book on there, but I wrote a book and, it's for my wife. It's been published. So I'm excited that I've now had something published, but it's not for sale. There's no, buddy sitting at the table in the back to sell my book. I look forward to that day, but it probably won't be in the back there, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. I'm asking God to expand what it is that he's asking me to do here on earth. I will be 58 in just a few days. And I'm getting closer to every birthday now. It's not a birthday of getting older. It's a birthday that I get closer to that. Some of you are already there. Retirement, that big retirement word. But I don't plan on just being retired. I want to do something in my retirement. And I'm thinking writing might be the opportunity that I believe God is going to open up those doors. As you sit there today and you have things going on in your life, it's messy, right? You have stuff going on. You have stuff some of us are not aware about, and others that we're aware about it. You've made it known that you've had a prayer request, but God wants to meet you where you're at. Where you're at every moment of your day, he wants to meet you. It's been asked of me, how do we know God is real? We can only know God is real if we make room for God. If we open up our hearts and our door wide and say, God, I want to experience you in my life. I want to know you more. I want to understand you more. And I want you to speak into my life so that I can speak into other people's lives. That our vessel can be filled up and then we can just spill that vessel out. And whoever it is, come what may, we will have that opportunity to pray with somebody, to share with life with them, even if it takes a long time for their hearts to be softened, for them to even be opened up to what God has in store for them. If the prayer team will come forward at this time, and Darren, you can get that video ready. I want the prayer team to come because I want you to be open to what God has for you. In review, it's really simple. There's the presence of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God. And God wants to talk to you today. He wants to speak into your life. He uses people like our prayer team here to pray for you. And as you're coming, the victor's crown is going to play on the video. And I'm going to, before it starts, I'm going to pray a prayer for you. And is at the end of the video, you can consider yourself dismissed. So if you'll just stand with me, the video is a little bit, not really, really long, but you've probably already seen it. The song, The Victor's Crown. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your hand being upon our lives. We thank you, God, that you speak to us through the written word and through the spoken word. We know you're here. We know you're present here in this place. You've been here forever. You were here before time, and we know that you've been here because people have prayed. This church has been responsible for answered prayers for a long, long time. And may we continue to be that, answered prayers, to an aunt and uncle who doesn't live in town that's praying for their niece or their nephew to get saved and to come to know you. For an uncle or something that needs to be healed today, we just pray that today in Jesus' name. We just pray, God, that you would speak into our lives today to speak into other people's lives, that we're the conduit. I pray, God, that as you gave me an eyewitness to angels and to a lion, and you pointed to me that transformers equals transformed lives, I pray, God, that we can all experience these things and have our own experiences in our own ways. We thank you for this day, and we thank you, God, for guiding us and directing us and giving us the strength and encouragement to do this thing called life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.